ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد there is a famous hadith related to Ramadan where it is narrated that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam he ascended the minbar and he stepped on the first step and he said ameen, then he stepped on the second step and he said ameen, and then he stepped on the third one and he said ameen. And after he finished and he came down, the sahaba asked him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we saw you doing something today which we had not seen you doing before. So what was this thing that you did? Why did you say ameen? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, when I stepped on the first step of the minbar, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and said, may the one who gets Ramadan and is unable to get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is unable to get the maximum benefit out of Ramadan, if he is unable to get the forgiveness of Allah even after getting Ramadan, then may that person be cast far away. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ameen. And he said, when I took the second step, Jibreel alayhi salam came and he said, may the one who finds his parents in their old age and is unable to get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by serving his parents, may he be cast far away. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ameen. And on the third step, Jibreel salam came to him and he said, may the one before whom your name is taken and he does not send salat and salam on you, may he be cast far away. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ameen. So very important for us to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this blessing of this month of mercy and forgiveness. After getting the month, if we still are unable to get the benefit of this month, then what is more tragic than that? And of course, even more tragic if you are in i'tikaf and you still don't get the benefit, then makes absolutely no sense. You don't get the benefit in spite of being in i'tikaf because you allow this i'tikaf to be spoilt because of doing things which are not permissible, and obviously that is even worse. But even if you are not in i'tikaf, the month alhamdulillah we have, it's a month of tilawat of the Quran, month of fasting, month of prayer, month of trying to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, month of cleaning our hearts and so on. If we are unable to do that, and there's no unable in the sense, when I'm saying unable, the only reason you're unable is if you are lazy or something. Because if Allah has given you the month with good health, then what is the unable, what is the inability? So if we don't do that, then obviously it's a very tragic thing. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. The second thing refers to parents. Now many times young people, they ask this question, they say, yes, my parents are there, they are old, but I don't have a good relationship, and you know, my parents are unreasonable and they're unfair and so on and so forth. All of this is true. It is not to say that just because they are parents that everything they do is right. They do wrong. They are human beings, right? They are human beings. So they will do wrong. And sometimes the parents can wrong you, sometimes the parents can be abusive, maybe they are unfair, maybe they are they favor one child over the other child, all of which is not permissible. A man came to Rasulullah and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have given my property to this son of mine. So Rasulullah said, is he the only son you have? He said, no, I have other children. So he said, take it back and divide it amongst the children, because this kind of thing creates enmity between the children and so on. So they obviously it means that here was somebody who was being unfair, and Rasulullah didn't permit that. He told him to be fair. So it is true, all of this, but the fact still remains that your father is your father, your mother is your mother. So therefore, even if they are unfair, even if they are this and that, still we owe them a duty because they are parents. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wife, our mother, Umme Habiba radiallahu anha, was the daughter of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. Before he became Muslim, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu was the number one enemy of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one enemy. He was the leader of all the Quraysh. He came to visit Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came actually to Madinah after Sulh Hudaybiyah. He came and he went to the house of his daughter, and she even the bed of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she moved it aside, she folded it up. So Abu Sufyan said, "Are you folding it up because you don't consider the bed to be worthy of me sitting on it?" So she said, "No, I folded it up because I don't consider you to be worthy of the bed, because that's the bed of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you are not a Muslim." But the same Habiba, she asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, "How should I be with my parents?" And he said, "Treat your parents with kindness, treat your parents with respect. Even though the father is, you know, his enemy." He said, "No, treat them with, because they are your parents. However he is with me is a different thing, but they are your parents. So your parents, even if they are not Muslim, even if they are not Muslim." So imagine what is the right of Muslim parents. Yes, they may not be fair to you and so on and so forth. That's a different matter. They should be fair. We are not saying here that it's okay for parents to be unfair. No, it's not okay for parents. Parents should be fair. Parents should not do things which destroy their own respect in the eyes of their children. But irrespective of that, whatever they do or don't do, it's our duty to serve our parents. And the third thing, very, very important, is to send salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the famous ayat of Surah Al-Ahzab, which a couple of days back we heard in Taraweeh as well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly ordered. And before he ordered, he said that this is what Allah and his malaika do. They send salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima," and then greet him with salam. So it is very important for us to do this. Different opinions with Imam Shafi'i and all that, they say that you must recite the whole durood every time you hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Hanifa, others said saying the durood once is enough. Afterwards you must say at least sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Irrespective of whatever it is, the point is at least we say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do not be stingy with this because it is for your own benefit." A man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I will dedicate 25% of my askar to sending salat and salam on you." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If you increase it, it is better for you." Please think about this. He didn't say, "If you increase it, it's better for me." No, he said, "If you increase it, it's better for you." So he said, "Inshallah, I will, half the time I spend in dhikr, I will send salat and salam on you." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If you increase it, it is better for you." So the man said, "Three quarters of the time, 75% of my time in dhikr, I will send salat and salam on you." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "That is good." He said in another hadith, "Somebody sends salat and salam on me once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send salat and salam on him 10 times. For each once, Allah will send salat and salam on that individual 10 times. So the barakat of durood, the fadail of durood, alhamdulillah, ulama have written books on this. But irrespective of, even if you don't read all those books, at least I think these 2 or 3 hadiths are more than enough for us to recognize the importance of that. Especially during these days, any time that you are not maybe reading Quran or you are not in salah, spend the time in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one of the best of the azkar is to send salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is very, very important for us. We owe our iman to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, it is the minimum that we can do to thank him by sending salat and salam on him and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him the highest of darajat and to reward him in keeping with his majesty and grace. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to maximize the benefit of Ramadan. We ask Allah to enable us to worship him as it is his right to be worshipped. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover our faults in this worship, to make our worship perfect the way he likes it, and to accept it from us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.